We turn to the portion of Scripture which we read in the Acts of the Apostles, Acts chapter 16, and we shall read again verse 25. Acts 16 at verse 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Amen. The worship of God may take place anywhere. That is evident from the scriptures of the New Testament and from the history of the church. And no doubt the worship of God has taken place in some remarkable locations. And we might say, well, here is one, because here is worship in a prison, in a cell. Here are Paul and Silas, two men of God, and they're in the stocks, and they're enduring this imprisonment for the Lord's sake, because of their faithfulness to his cause. But here they are at worship. And it was a blessed worship. Blessed for themselves, and as we learn from the text and what follows, blessed for others. It is always right to worship God. It is good to worship God, to sing his praises, to call upon his name. May we remember that. That this is the great calling of the church and of the Lord's people as individuals. And we know that because when the church is gathering glory around the throne of God and of the Lamb, this is what the church will be doing, praising God. Worship. The spirit of worship should be in our heart. And the activity of worship should be going on. Formal acts of worship, but also praise and prayer going up from our souls during the day. Thanksgiving to God. Confessing our sin. Seeking his aid. Above all, adoring him, his blessed name. All that he is and has done, is doing and will yet do. We wish to consider this text for our encouragement in a difficult day, when indeed many of the Lord's people find that they are in trouble because of opposition, but perhaps in trouble also because of those things which come upon us all at one time or another. Some sickness, some trial, the things which believers also face as they walk in this world. Well, firstly, as the Lord helps us, let us note that believers may come under severe affliction in this world. Paul and Silas, what are they doing? They're doing the greatest thing that anyone could do. They're proclaiming Christ. They're making known the glorious gospel. That is their calling. That is what they are about. And yet what happens to them? They're opposed by many in Philippi. And especially after Paul, in the name of the Lord Jesus, had cast out the spirit of divination from the possessed woman, the damsel. And those who rose up in opposition to Paul and Silas and their ministry brought them to the Roman magistrates. And they did so with an accusation these men being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans." They rose up together against Paul and Silas. And the magistrate, without thinking very carefully about what they were doing, stripped Paul and Silas, and they beat them, and they were imprisoned, and their feet were in the stocks. That is not the first time in Scripture that you read of God's servants in prison. You think of the Old Testament. Joseph, that godly man. And Jeremiah, even at the hands of his own people. And then in the New Testament, John the Baptist. Servants of the Lord, doing the Lord's will, and yet finding themselves in such severe difficulty. We may face opposition because we love the Lord Jesus and we stand by his word and we follow it and keep it and we proclaim it. We may also have affliction in this world because it is a fallen world. And the things that are in the world because of sin, man's sin. And we know illness, and we might know poverty, and there are many sorrows, and there are troubles aplenty, even for each and every one, at one time or another. But especially these afflictions, which are borne for the sake of the Lord Jesus. Oh, these are honourable afflictions. These are afflictions for which we may praise God, as Paul and Silas did. The comfort, as ever, for the child of God in any difficulty is in knowing that for the Lord's people, these things are but for a season. They're momentary in the span of things. Who can compare time and eternity? Some do, almost as though there's an equivalence between them. As though eternity is just a span of time. But it's not. While it's beyond our comprehension and certainly the experience of it, eternity is forever. Our place in this world is just for a few brief years. And afflictions belong to this world for the Lord's people and only to this world. Keep that perspective. Whatever your difficulty may be. Now, the tendency of our nature is to magnify our afflictions, and that is certainly the work of the evil one. He will try to persuade you that what you're enduring is so great, so fearful, such a burden, such a terrible thing, that you should, if you could, hide from it. Shun it. And certainly if it is anything that has come upon you because you are one of the Lord's, Satan will be trying to induce you to turn away from the Lord, to renounce the Lord. And he will be saying to you, if you were not living such a strict, narrow life, if you were not so firm in the truth, and in your obedience to Christ, these things would not be coming upon you. You could have a much easier lot in life if you just return to where you once were. Back into the world. Look at your old friend. prophets. See how they do. They're not beset with these troubles that you have, because you are determined to follow Jesus Christ. Oh, remember that He is the Father of lies. Satan never spoke the truth, even if he has spoken the truth. It's for a mischievous purpose. And he always twists it and misapplies it. And we need the whole truth. Friends, we have it in the Bible. And what you have in the Bible is the reality. The Bible doesn't smooth over things. It tells the saints of God, while you are here, you will have to endure troubles of various kinds. Did not Christ say to his disciples, "Marvel not if the world hates you"? Do not be surprised. It hated me first. And if it hated me, then it will hate those who follow me. And the more closely they follow me, the more the world will hate them. It is an honor to bear stripes, to endure beatings, to be shut up in prison, deprivations of various kinds, for the Lord's sake. Afflictions belong here. It will always be like that. This world will not change for the better. We can be thankful for a Christian society looking back. So much of what was good and beneficial, that has begun to disappear. We're going backward. We're going into the darkness. And perhaps more afflictions will have to be borne by those who love the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is what Scripture teaches. And Scripture forewarns us of. But the focus the Word of God would have us keep to is beyond this world. We are to be looking unto Jesus. Jesus, where He now is, beyond all suffering and sorrow, in glory. And His prayer was and is, "Father, I will that they also whom Thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory." So believers may come under severe affliction in this world. Secondly, we should worship God when we are under affliction. Not only when everything goes as we might wish it to go, when everything is comfortable for us, but in the midst of trials, we should worship God. The three in the fiery furnace, no doubt they were calling upon God. And when they called upon God, there was one with them in the furnace. "Like unto the Son of God." It was the Son of God before He ever became incarnate. In all their afflictions, He was afflicted. And He's not lost any of His sympathy, any of His fellow feeling. The Lord Jesus Christ is with His people when they endure these hardships and these trials. And by His Spirit, He gives them that desire to be still praising God. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. In that prison, in that cell, In those thoughts, God's servants engaged in worship. And there is no time when prayer and praise are not appropriate or not acceptable unto God. There is no place, likewise, where these things are not appropriate, not acceptable unto God. Worship by the Spirit in sincerity and that is what these servants of God did. Perhaps for a time, when they were first cast into that cell, they were cast down and sorrowful because they may have felt that losing their liberty, they would lose their influence, their ability to serve the Lord. But what service they rendered unto God in that cell by worshipping God, as we shall see. Worship is good for our own soul. When we worship God, when we draw near to Him, He fulfills His promise to draw near to us. And we meet with God in the Mediator, Jesus Christ. He's the Son of God. He's the friend of sinners. He's the one who satisfied God's justice for His people, dying on the cross. And He's the one in whom the mercy of God for sinners is revealed. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Perhaps they were discouraged. Perhaps initially it was difficult for them to worship God in their situation. That would not be surprising. That has been the experience of many in their afflictions. The mind is occupied with one's particular lot and particular suffering and the concerns that relate to it. But the mind needs to be occupied with God. The more we're occupied with God, our burden is lessened. It is a lighter load. The joy of the Lord becomes our strength, and we're able to manage in a way we could not otherwise with the trial that we are facing. However, soon Paul and Silas began to engage in worship. In the cell at midnight, they prayed and they sang praises unto God. Now, as we pointed out previously, prayer is the most simple thing, the most simple aspect of worship. You do not need anything in order to pray. You simply bow your head, bow your heart, and you call upon the name of the Lord. You lift your voice to God. It may indeed be that there are no audible words, and yet you are still engaging in prayer. It can even be just a sigh and a cry, a groan within. And if it is, by the enabling of the Spirit, groanings which cannot be uttered. Well, there's intercession there. There's a pleading there. This is acceptable to God. He will hear it in heaven. He will bow down His ear graciously and hear that groan. They also sang praises. We do not believe that they had necessarily a copy of the scriptures with them. But no doubt, being godly men, having a godly upbringing, so much of Scripture was committed to memory. They had hidden God's word in their hearts. The Psalms that they had learned in their childhood and their youth, these precious, blessed, spiritual songs which God has given to the church, Old Testament and New. These songs were in their hearts, and these songs now came forth from their mouths. They opened their lips and they sang praises unto God. Are we like that? That whenever there is a convenient opportunity, we are found doing this. We are worshipping God. We have the liberty, then we should be making good use of it, even if our liberty is taken away. We should not be deprived of this. It should be instinctive within us. And by the Spirit of God, worship should be coming forth from us. Now, you may have to pray to God, firstly, for the ability to worship Him. Worship is not always easy. Worship may be something we feel utterly incapable of when things are very dark and very difficult. And when there have been great sorrows which have come upon us. But worship is a blessing. It glorifies God and it brings the one who worships into the presence of God through Jesus Christ, into the presence of our covenant God, the God of our salvation, who has all needed grace for his people and is full of loving kindness and will be very gracious to them. Psalm 51, we find the psalmist calling upon God for help to be able to worship him. That is an example for us. Psalm 51 verse 15. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. That psalm is a penitential psalm. There has been sin in David's life, and perhaps the worship of God and the praise of God is something he finds difficult in his present condition. But he's been praying for the purging of his sin, that the Lord would hide his face from his sins, that the Lord would create in him a clean heart and renew a right spirit. And so he comes to that. Open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. Psalm 119 as well. This great psalm concerning God's word and the wonder of it. And toward the end, let my soul live, and it shall praise thee, and let thy judgments help me. When we go upon our knees in prayer, we may feel very sluggish, spiritually sluggish, as though we're lifeless. There's nothing there. And so the first plea has to be, oh Lord, come to me and strengthen me and enable me to call upon thee. believers may come under severe affliction in this world. We should worship God when we come under affliction. And then thirdly and finally, God will bless sincere worship. That worship which is genuine, it is coming from the believing heart. That heart which is impressed, indeed in awe, concerning God and His glory, His majesty, His holiness, and that heart which also goes out in love to God for His mercy and grace and salvation, and desires more of His mercy and grace. Paul and Silas were blessed when they worshipped God in the prison cell at midnight. It brought them back in their thoughts to their rock, to their refuge, to their God, the Eternal, the One in whom they trusted, upon whom they depended, the One they served. And if God had called them to Philippi, sent them there, given them an opening, enabled them to minister the word, that would be a comfort to them. They would be reassured of that when they sought His face in worship. And that the Lord would indeed bring good out of the evil that had come upon them. That the Lord would bless their testimony and use them as His witnesses. So they were encouraged when they worshipped. God surely drew near to them, and God gave to them peace of heart and mind. God was saying to them, I am with you here in your prison cell. Fear not, I am with you. But we are also told that when they prayed and sang praises unto God, the prisoners heard them. They were not restrained then in their praying and their praises. They were not ashamed of the Lord or His cause. And they were happy that their fellow prisoners in the adjoining cells should know that they were servants of the Lord, that they did not fear the face of man, that they had a message, the gospel of Christ, which was for all men, and that all men should hear it, even their fellow prisoners. God honored Paul and Silas as they honored Him. In the next verse we're told, suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. We wonder at the reaction of the prisoners to that amazing event. Did they connect it immediately with what was going on in the cell adjoining theirs? The worship of God, the true and living God. Well, we know that whether the prisoners or not were impressed in that way, there was one individual present who was indeed impressed, and in whom the Lord was working, the keeper of the prison. He awoke out of his sleep. He saw all the prison doors open. And he was about to kill himself because he supposed that all the prisoners had fled. Paul was able to say to him, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." And the jailer was wondering at this. He'd heard the praying. He'd heard the singing. And he comes quickly, filled with fear. And he falls down before Paul in silence. And he has this question. Oh, it's a burning question. He must have an answer to it. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? He might have been thinking on the temporal level, fearing for his life, but surely he was thinking on a higher level than that. And that is evident from the answer he got from Paul and Silas. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou shalt be saved, and thy house. And they had the opportunity to speak the word of God to him. And the Lord blessed it to that man and to his household. And all this flowed from their boldness there in the prison cell, whereby they would not be deterred from doing what was customary for them and right and good for all men, worshipping God. And it should be the same with us. In public, in private, in comfort and ease, or in difficult straits, even when there may be opposition and threatenings, and even when the fear of man might rise up within us, there should be a greater fear in the heart of every true Christian than the fear of man or any other fear, the fear of God. And when you have the fear of God in your heart, it will carry you, it will enable you to honour him and to serve him and bear witness to him, even when there might be that within you that would say, "Well, no, I won't do that. I don't want to cause any trouble. I don't want to get into further difficulty." No. We will honour the Lord. We will show our love for the one who loved us. Loved us in a way we will never be able to repay. Ye are my witnesses. Well, may it be so with us. Wherever God gives us an opportunity, may we be witnesses by our worship, by our prayers and our praises, giving God the glory in our salvation and seeking the good of our fellow sinners by the gospel. May the Lord bless his word. Let us pray. O Lord, wilt thou open our lips, that we may show forth thy praise, and tell what the Lord has done for our soul, and how God is glorious and gracious, how God is mighty and merciful, and how God will bless sinners who call upon his name. Help us in all our afflictions to be bright, shining lights, and grant, O God, that in the darkness of the present day, thy people will not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Hear our prayers, accept them and our praises, and forgive our sin. For Jesus' sake, Amen.